Welcome to Good Natured, a podcast all about optimism and the great outdoors. I'm your host, Haley O'Brien. Today we will discuss winter hiking, winter hunting, and we'll take you to the Pennsylvania Farm Show. First, I'm joined by WVIA's Kat Bolus here in the studio to talk about first day hiking. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here and talk about winter hiking, which I often find myself doing for some reason.
Yeah, you're always out there in the cold, going up high elevation and taking an adventure. So tell us about your latest adventure.
Yeah. So the state has an initiative. It's called First Day Hikes. So this year, across 60 state parks and state forests, the state DCNR employees as well as volunteers organize first day hikes. And so they're typically moderate. They're from, 1 to 3 miles. They're on pretty level ground. And it's kind of a way to get people outside on the first day of the year.
So tell us, where did you go hiking on the first day of 2026?
So I went to Miller Mountain, which is right outside of Tunkhannock. So Miller Mountain is very interesting. It became part of the Pinchot State Forest District in 2023. It's kind of this intact mountain that was used for like a variety of different things over the years. So it was used in the logging industry. There were dairy farming up there. And then in the 60s and I think into the 80s, people wanted to turn it into a ski resort, actually. So it has this like kind of quirky history within northeastern Pennsylvania. You know, it's considered to be in the Endless Mountains, which is Wyoming, Sullivan, Susquehanna, and Bradford County. And it was just an absolutely gorgeous hike. But we hiked about 5.5 miles, which is not your typical first day of the year hike. But as I said, I always find myself in these situations where I'm hiking longer than I thought I was going to, a much higher elevation. So we kind of hiked straight up this mountain. We gained about 1,400 feet of elevation. Took us 2 hours and 33 minutes, and I was with a group of about 30 people. And so we were spread out. We weren't all on top of each other. But you got to see these, like, beautiful views of, like, Wyoming County. So it wasn't your typical first day hike. Like I said, they're usually 1 to 3 miles, and they're pretty moderate on level ground. And we were huffing and puffing up the side of Miller Mountain.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the most intense hike I went on was part of the Appalachian Trail down near Slatington. So I had friends who took me on that hike. They said, we'll just go for a hike. I figured, I've gone for a lot of hikes. I can do this. And I remember telling my mom that I was using my hands and my legs. And she said, were you rock climbing? I'm like, I don't think I would describe it as that.
But yeah.
But I was nervous. I just needed like extra support getting up there.
Yeah, there's definitely, especially on the Appalachian Trail, there's definitely some areas where you need to get down on like all fours. And that area is like particularly rocky. And like one of my favorite facts about that area of the Appalachian Trail is it actually goes over the Lehigh Valley Tunnel. So like when you're on the turnpike, like say you're going from Scranton to Allentown, and you go through the Lehigh Valley Tunnel, the trail goes across the top. The Appalachian Trail goes across the top of it.
Yeah. So maybe more than one reason why people are holding their breath when they drive through that tunnel.
Yes. It's a good way to put it.
Yes. So I want to go back to Miller Mountain. Your pictures were gorgeous. Obviously, a really nice view.
Yeah.
But it had snowed a few inches maybe that morning. Were you slipping and sliding on your way up?
So we actually were kind of thankful for the snow because the mountain was very icy.
Oh.
So the snow kind of gave you a little more traction. With winter hiking, you always want to make sure you're prepared. I have crampons. I think we actually talked about crampons last time, but I had crampons on my boots, which are like spikes essentially you put on the bottom of your shoes that help you kind of grip into ice or grip into slippery surfaces. And I brought my trekking poles with me, which are just like your two walking sticks that you'll see a lot of hikers with. And when you're winter hiking, I feel like those two things are essential, crampons and trekking poles.
Okay.
Like they will save you if you start slipping or, if you just need a little extra stability, which you tend to in the winter.
And that group you were with, did they all have that gear?
Yeah, that was actually recommended. There was a Facebook group for the hike, and that was recommended to make sure that you had, like, your ice spikes on and your trekking poles, and also that you were dressed appropriately. something that I've heard throughout the years and that I kind of adhere to is that if you're going to go hiking in the winter, you know, you put all your layers on, or you put your jacket and your pants and your boots and your socks and all that fun stuff on, and then you step outside. And if you step outside and if you're chilly in what you're wearing, that is what you're supposed to hike in. Because once you get going, your body heats up.
Mm-hmm.
So I had on, like, my sister had gotten me a heated scarf for Christmas.
Ooh.
So I had on a hat, a heated scarf, a jacket. And I was, like, taking off the layers as we got up this hill because I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun, though.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Okay, so you feel like you started the year on a good foot?
I feel like I started the year on a very good foot, yeah. And I have been dying to get up to Miller Mountain, you know, since it became part of the state forest system. And I just haven't really had the opportunity. So it definitely made me want to go back in the summer when, you know, you don't need all of the above to hike up it.
Yeah.
Maybe just water.
Yeah, right. Let's talk a little bit more about hiking in general in this region.
Yeah.
Because you've done a lot of it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite hiking trail?
My favorite hiking trail? So I always say that Lackawanna State Park is my park. I grew up going there. We would go swimming. We would have picnics up there. And then too late in life, discovered that there were hiking trails up there. So now I think I've hiked every single one of their trails. And that is probably, for sentimental reasons, my favorite place to hike. I know the trails like the back of my hand. Some of them are pretty difficult. Some of them are easy. You get some good views. You kind of get deep in the woods where you get lost in your thoughts a little bit. But then you come out and you're like near a road and you're like, oh, wait, Manning's is right up the road. I'm near civilization. So that's probably my favorite place to hike around here.
Okay. You helped me find a cool trail that's close to my house in Duryea last year. That was based on some reporting that you did last year.
So that was my first day of the year hike last year.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not just like DCNR that hosts first day hikes. Other outdoor organizations will host them. So that's the Lackawanna River Corridors Authority. They're an authority, not an association. They hosted that hike because they operate the Heritage Trail, which eventually will run from Pittston to Carbondale. So they acquired a tract of land through the Duryea wetlands that I didn't know existed before then. That was my first day of the year hike last year for a story about what was happening with that development. And then that ended up turning into, we did a Keystone Edition report show about outdoor recreation, and we focused on how Duryea wants to use, you know, this 3-mile trail to kind of spur their economy and make Duryea an outdoor recreation destination. So a lot comes out of these first day of the year hikes.
Exactly. And, you know, we're lucky to have you on the team. I feel fortunate to have you in the newsroom to be able to ask you about where to go hiking and what the new developments are. The last question I want to ask you is, you know, for our listeners, where to find hiking trails near them. So what resources do you use to locate hiking trails?
Yeah. So I look on All Trails a lot. It's a website and it's an app. I know like it has mixed reviews as far as user experience goes, but I find that it's like a good starting point. You can also use the state park websites, or if you were hiking in the Delaware Water Gap, you could go on the National Park Service site and look up maps and trails there. And you could also use Discover NEPA. They have trail resources as well. So sometimes it just starts with a Google search.
Wow. Yeah, there's no shortage of resources, it sounds like, and certainly no shortage of outdoorsy areas and trails to discover in this region. Thanks for joining me today, Kat.
Thanks for having me.
WVIA News is at the Pennsylvania Farm Show. This is a week-long showcase of Pennsylvania's agriculture industry. There's so much to see and do here, and lots to eat, including donuts made out of potatoes. In this segment, I'm joined by Nathan Tallman. He's the CEO of the Pennsylvania Cooperative Potato Growers.
Pennsylvania Cooperative Potato Growers was chartered in 1922. We're one of the oldest active cooperatives in the United States. We're based right here in Harrisburg. We market potatoes for the growers of Pennsylvania, but we also cut for the snack food manufacturers here. Pennsylvania is the snack food capital of the world. We work with 5 chip processors. We work with Utz, Hers, Middlesworth, Martin's, and Wise in Berwick. From the end of August to April, potatoes come out of Pennsylvania. There's about 28 growers here in the state. Potatoes are America's favorite vegetable, and that is qualified by Potatoes USA. They're based out of Denver, Colorado. They do marketing research for our industry. We have our classic potato donuts. That's one of our hallmark items here that everybody's very well known. We've been selling the potato donuts since around the 1950s. We offer a powdered sugar, cinnamon sugar, and plain. And then we have fresh cut French fries. And we also make potato cakes, also known as latkes. So our growers harvested potatoes in September and they're stored right now. So our growers are pulling those potatoes out of storage and that's what we're serving here at Farm Show. We serve all Pennsylvania potatoes for sure. There are hundreds of potato varieties. So unlike apples, potatoes, you know, apples are often marketed by the variety, like you can buy a Red Delicious or a Gala. Potatoes are marketed as round whites, reds, yellows, russets. There's probably 50 different red potato varieties. So when you go to the grocery store, you're not buying it by variety, you're just buying a red skinned potato. For America 250, we built this potato American flag, you know, to celebrate America being 250 years old. Well, I'm sure that our founding fathers started growing potatoes around 1776. They had to be aware of the crop by then. We have a very rich history in Pennsylvania growing potatoes and looking to keep the industry strong and promote them. And thank you for doing the interview today.
Back now with Don Jacobs from Discover NEPA. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Did you have a good time?
I did. I had great holidays, but I'm feeling good, ready to be back, ready to get back
into this
podcast.
You're one of those people.
Yeah, I guess I like work and I like routine, so.
Yeah, with that thought of Happy New Year, how about we challenge the people that are listening to us and watching us here to make a New Year's resolution. Now, I don't do that, but make one and make the resolution. I'm going to do something new and I'm going to do it in the outdoors. Maybe it's just a new hiking trail. Maybe it's just a new sport like fishing. You know, something, and make that resolution so that at the end of the year, you've accomplished one thing. You did something new,
okay,
right?
Yes.
So I look at my job now and I say, you know what? The Olympics are coming up. I bet there's a curling club around here. And I found one. The Anthracite Curling Club. We met with them down at the Toyota Sportsplex and they taught us all about curling. I fell flat on my butt twice, and I said, I'm leaving that up to the pros. So I've done one thing already I've never done before. I tried curling.
Wow, good
so
for you.
So if you do that, you'll feel good about it, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do that's new in the new year yet.
Just a new hike, maybe.
Yeah, that right? Can totally do that.
So you talk about, like, even fishing, right? So there's frozen lakes now, right? And you know Pennsylvania winters, so you have to watch. We've been 20 degrees, and now we're up in the 40s. The next week, it could be 45, it could be 50, it could be 19. Mm-hmm. So the ice is out there. You've got to practice ice safety, right? So you have to know. Fish and Boat Commission says 4 inches and less, don't go on the ice. So you follow somebody with a pry bar or with an auger, and once it's good 6, 7, 8 inches, take a kid ice skating, right? Go ice fishing. And don't be afraid to walk up to somebody at a hole that's fishing and catching fish and saying, boy, I'd really like to try that. What do I need? Right? So just explore.
Mm-hmm. And you know the people in this area who can teach anybody about all of those things, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And don't be afraid to turn to your conservation groups, right? The Trout Unlimited, they do fly tying classes. They do how to fly. The Fish and Boat Commission, they're out there teaching family fun days, how to fish. They just did a woman's fly tying class at one of the state parks. It was well attended, right? So maybe that inspired that person to buy fishing gear and go out and have a new sport and then inspire somebody else to come along. So, yeah, so don't be afraid to turn to your conservation groups. You want to go turkey hunting, National Wild Turkey Federation, right? You want to go trout fishing. How about a bass club? So don't be afraid to reach out to them. Now, the one thing I can say is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Game Commission have gotten together across the country a lot, and they've said, we can use our lands and we can teach people how to hunt. So I was involved with the first one in the area. It was at Cherry Valley. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Game Commission put it out there that they're looking for first-time hunters. We will supply the gun. We will supply the education, the ethics, the shoot-no-shoot kind of stuff. And we will have fun doing it. We were there when they were sighting in their rifles, right, at the Toby Hanna gun range. Brenna Rabenowitz, first-time hunter, had such a great reason why she was going to actually hunt.
I signed up because I care about ethically sourcing our food. My husband and I are vegetarians, but our kids aren't. So I would rather have us be eating a deer that had one bad day in its life than, chicken nuggets that are from a factory farm. And I know that deer overpopulation is a big problem for our environment right now. So I think this is an ethical way to feed our family and get some good food.
I applaud her, right? It turns out she saw deer the two days that she hunted. Small bucks, because they had to be a certain size, and the doe were too far. But she said, if they offer me again, I'm going to do it. I'm going to reach out to people, and I'm going hunting. I really enjoyed it. So kudo to her, and kudo to the Fish and the Game Commission and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Amazing program.
Yeah, yeah. Really just letting people get their hands on some guns and really do the thing.
And it doesn't have to be hunting and fishing. If you want to climb a mountain, or there's rock climbing clubs you could get involved with. If you have young kids, turn to the Boy Scouts, turn to the Girl Scouts. Be proactive in what you're doing in the outdoors, and you could find things to do. You know, Discover NEPA's got a really good calendar of events. Well, utilize it, right? And find a group that's taking people kayaking for the first time or whatever. So make a New Year's resolution to do something new in the outdoors. That's going to be my little tip for the week.
I like that. And I think what's great about what Discover NEPA does is they bring you along, you know, like this segment, you brought them along to that first time hunter's experience.
Yep.
So it's a great way for people to see that it's not so intimidating,
right,
and kind of get a glimpse of what's available to them. So I'm interested in hunting. If somebody is thinking about getting into it here at this time of year, you know, what kind of hunting seasons are there?
So right now, the deer seasons are wrapping up, right? So you had the late muzzleloader season and archery season ends at the end of January. But I can tell you that you can go squirrel hunting and rabbit hunting, right? There's always crow hunting. But I say squirrel hunting because if you're a hunter and you're a little older, you grew up hunting squirrels. And one of my favorite meat is squirrel. I mean, it is nutty. It's delicious. It's not gamey. So if you're sitting there and you could take a kid on a squirrel hunt on a Saturday, it doesn't have to be all day, two or three hours, and let them watch you shoot a squirrel. That's the kind of inspiring stuff, right? So I'm going to say to people, there's squirrel and rabbit hunting to do. You're wrapping up your deer season. Start preparing for the turkey season. So you go for a hike on where you hunt. You look for turkey tracks, right? As it gets a little bit warmer going into beginning of April, you stand there in the morning, right at daybreak, and you listen for turkeys. So hunting isn't just, okay, I'm going to take my gun out in October, put it away in December. For me, it's something that I do the whole year, right? I start looking for if the deer are changing their pattern. What's the best way to know that? When it snows. Right? You get out there and you look at the deer tracks and you say, why wasn't I sitting here?
Oh.
Right? So you say, why wasn't I sitting here? So maybe next year, if you're a trail camera person, you put a camera there and you found a new spot. Right? So I look at hunting as I'm constantly thinking about it. I'm looking forward to the spring turkey season, but I am going to go kick a brush pile and hopefully shoot a rabbit. You know, I was telling you that I cook a lot with my grandkids. They asked me, Papa, how does rabbit taste? I'm going to end up taking a rabbit if I have to buy one, but I'm going to go out and hunt, and hopefully they're going to have rabbit soon.
And how will you prepare the rabbit?
So one of my favorite ways, but it's a very intense way, is an old German. It's rabbit Hasenpfeffer. So it means that it gets brined for 2 or 3 days in a vinegar, and I have my mother's recipe. But a rabbit Creole or a rabbit cacciatore is absolutely delicious. Now, cacciatore is Italian, and it means hunter's stew, right? Mm-hmm. They used rabbit. Rabbit was much more popular in Italy back in the day than chicken. So it was always rabbit cacciatore. I made it. I cooked it on TV once. People went crazy. If they didn't have rabbit, they used my recipe with chicken. So I'll probably make cacciatore for them.
Now, do you have a recipe that you prepare squirrel with?
Yeah, so one of my favorite ways, I think it's considered like a fricassee. So it's basically steamed with onions and a little bit of chicken broth, salt and pepper, some celery. And you keep adding water, maybe a little white wine, and then you just sit there, not to be gross, just pick the meat off those little bones, and it's so good. My grandmother used to boil them, have to wait until she got four or five of them, and boil them and take all the meat out and chop it up, and she would make a squirrel pot pie that would be the best meal of the week.
Wow.
Squirrel pot pie. And you know, a lot of people laugh because I talk like this, that I enjoy this stuff. But remember, that was our heritage, right? That's what, not only do we do it, we did it to eat.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And people laugh now because it's so much easier to go and get the chicken nuggets that Brenna referred to, or to go to a grocery store, or even for that matter, order online and pick it up. You don't even have to shop anymore. I find it much more satisfying to go into my freezer and take a big chunk of venison and make a pot roast out of it because I know everything about that deer, right?
Yep. So you know exactly where it came from.
Yeah. So the hunting thing is fading now. February is pretty much it until the turkey season. We'll start focusing in now. I'm going to try to get out and do some ice fishing. Again, you have to worry. It's going to be 45 degrees this week. Could be 50 next week. So you got to worry about the ice. But safety in numbers. If you see a bunch of guys out there, you make your way out. You ask them how thick it is. But don't be afraid to get off the couch and get out there and fill your lungs with fresh air.
Cool. Yeah, what I'm learning from you today is that there are people who know more than you. If you don't know much about a topic and you're interested in learning more, there are people you can find who will show you the way.
Yeah, and even if I think I know it, I think a job as a reporter is to always ask, like, somebody that's listening to you doesn't. So even if I know the answer, I don't want to skip over that question because there's somebody sitting back here that has no clue. So I always tell people jokingly, I play the idiot.
Yes.
Right? I may be able to turkey call better than you, but I'm going to, if I'm doing a story with you about turkey calling, I'm asking all these very obvious questions. And people that know me are going to say, but you know that answer. Yeah, but there's people at home that don't. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, find somebody that knows. And even if it's the same thing you know, what if you picked up a little tip that you didn't know or an easier way to do it? You know, there's always more than one solution. Right? So, yeah, get out there. Just get out and find people. And again, utilize your conservation groups. Utilize the state park systems. They have a lot of programs that they offer, hikes. Sanctuaries, Lackawack Sanctuary, Cherry Valley, they hold programs where they bring people in. I just did a story on winter survival at the Lackawack Sanctuary. They hold programs where they show you how to pick the right wood and start a fire like this, with simple little things you could take from home in case you have to do it. So we called it winter survival, but at the end of it, it was like common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Carry it with you. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to ask questions. You know that as a reporter, the only way to get in, there's no such thing as a stupid question, right? If you don't know the answer, then it's a good question, even if somebody else does. So get out there and have some fun. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to reach out and say, I see that you're doing this. Can I tag along?
Yeah.
Most people will say yes.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that. Well, I appreciate the motivation and the optimism that you're bringing today. I didn't know you were...
Outdoors and optimism?
Yes. And today I'm learning that you're a cook like me. We both like food, so that's something we can discuss a whole lot here on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll even share some venison with you. Will you eat it?
Okay.
No, I don't know. I didn't get the nod.
Try.
Yes, all
yeah,
right. Hey,
know,
when I make it, trust me, you'll give it a try.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it a try. Well, thanks so much, Don, for coming in today.
I always enjoy this.
We'll see you next month.
You got it.
That does it for today's episode of Good Natured. Visit discovernepa.com for more on Don's segment, Go Wild with Discover NEPA. They also have resources on hiking trails and things to do around the region.